Pirkei de Eliezer, Perek Lamed Hey, we're holding in the middle of the Perek. Just a little bit of a background before we start the next discussion. So, we're talking about Yaakov Avinu leaving his father's house and going to Haran. That's basically the story we're going to be discussing now, going back to the narrative of Yaakov Avinu. There's an interesting thing that we can actually calculate the age of Yaakov Avinu when he came to Haran, that he was 77 years old. We can calculate it backwards from knowing how old Yaakov Avinu was when he died, and how long he spent in Mitzrayim, and how old Yosef was. We can make a synchronization, and when Yosef was born, and when the other Shvatim were born, which is really the next parak, we can figure out that Yaakov Avinu was 77 years old when he came to Haran. It's an interesting thing that in Seder Olam proves that Yaakov Avinu was 63 years old when he left his parents' house. The Mahalach of Seder Olam is basically, it's brought in Rashi in the end of Parshas Toldos a little bit, and then it's brought again in Rashi in the end of Parshas Chayesara and the end of Parshas Toldos. Rashi, in the two places together, you can see what Rashi is trying to say. Now, what does Seder Olam say? Seder Olam says that Yaakov Avinu was 63 years old when he left his parents' home, because of the fact that Yishmael was 137 when he died. Yishmael was 137 years old when he died. And Yaakov Avinu was 63 years old when Yishmael was 137. Because Yishmael was 14 years older than Yitzchak, and Yitzchak was 60 when Yaakov Avinu was born. So if you make the cheshbon, it comes out that Yaakov Avinu was 63 years old when Yishmael was 137. And when the pasuk in the end of Parshas Toldos says that Yaakov Avinu ran away, so right after it says that he ran away, it says that Esav went and he married the daughter of Yishmael, Mochas Bas Yishmael, Achos Nevoyos, the sister of Nevoyos, and that's who Esav married. And the Seder Olam says, why does it call her Achos Nevoyos, the sister of Nevoyos? To say, Mochas Bas Yishmael, why does it say who her brother was? So the Seder Olam says, from here you learn that at that time when Esav married her, that's when Yishmael died. And the Seder Olam assumes that Esav marrying Mochlas Bas Yishmael happened at the same time that Yaakov Avinu ran away, which also happened at the same time that Yishmael died. So from that you learn that Yaakov Avinu was 63 years old when he ran away from his parents' home. That's the cheshbon of the Seder Olam. Fine. The question is, we just said before that I can prove to you from the Psukim that Yaakov Avinu was 77 years old when he got the Haran. So if he left when he was 63 and he got there when he was 77, what was he doing for 14 years? So because of that, the Seder Olam says, and Rashi brings this down in Chumash, that from here you learn that Yaakov Avinu was in the Beis Medrash of Shem Ve'Ever and he learned there for 14 years. That's where it comes from, because of this problem in the Cheshbonos. Yeah?
Comes from the problem as an answer to the problem. It doesn't come from a source that he was there, that he went there to learn.
Okay, obviously it's from a Masorah that Seder Olam had, but this is where we bring it out. That Masorah comes to answer this question in how to understand the Pesukim. Uh-huh. Now, we're going to see that the Medrash over here might be saying something else. Let's start.
It's not a forced answer to the forced parents to do the 14. Let's say that he was learning.
I would assume because there was
14 years that we couldn't like match.
Right.
So it's just like, those 14 years are here.
Right. It's some sort of mystery that whoever wrote Seder Olam, Rabbi Yosi ben Chalafta, the Tana of Rabbi Yosi ben Chalafta, he had a mystery, and that's how he proved this mystery by putting all these things together and showed how the Psukim already show you that there is such a mystery. Rashi. In all of Rashi and Tanakh, Rashi always goes with Seder Olam. If there's ever a machlokes in the chronology, Rashi will always go with Seder Olam, as far as I know. It could be, if you find something where Rashi doesn't seem like he's going with Seder Olam, that would be very interesting to see. But let's see what the Medrash says over here. Ben Shivim Bosheva Shana Hoya Yaakov B'Tzeisei Mi Beis Aviv. Yaakov Avinu was 77 years old when he left the house of his father. Now this is slightly problematic, because we said that Seder Olam understood that Yaakov was 63 years old when he left. He was 77 when he got to Haran, but he was 63 years old when he left the house of his father. So the Zayis Ranan on the Yalkut Shemoini in Bereishis Remez Kuf Yotes, when it brings this Medrash and also the Bayis HaGadol over here, the most of the Mefarshim, and it seems like the Radal also has it sad to say this, they understand that Yaakov Avinu was 63 when he left, and he was 77 when he got to Haran. And there were 14 years where he learned in Sheva Eber, and Pirkei Blezer is going with that. It didn't speak out the whole cheshbon. It means 77 when he was going to Haran, but it means he was really 63 and then he went to Sheva Eber 14 years, etc. It's not really a machlokes. You could say in some ways that learning in the yeshiva of Sheva Eber was an extension of being in the house of his father. You could say that maybe Yitzchak Avinu paid the tuition. So it's Kilo, he's still learning, he's still in his house, his father's house by Shema Aver. And then when he left Shema Aver to go to Chor, and then he was like Mamish leaving his parents'
because
house.
Because of his parents' gracious.
Right.
There's a parent that sends the kids to learn, not the world.
Right. However, Lamaisa, the Radal says, or you could say that what it means, Beis Aviv, it means Eretz Yisrael. He literally left his parents' house at 63, but he was still in Eretz Yisrael for another 14 years in the house of Shema Aver, in the Beis Medrash of Shema Aver. And then when he was 77, he went to Haran. And we're talking about him leaving Shema Aver to go to Haran. We're calling it he left his father's house, meaning he left the land of his father, he left Eretz Yisrael. And then that's when he was 77. That's one of the pshatim that the Radal wants to say.
There's a problem with different parts. I don't know if you can count that. But in Lech Lecha, when they said Avram Avinu, he left.
Yeah.
And then there's the base of Eve and whatever.
Right.
And now they're not talking about Eretz Yisrael. They're not talking about the place. It says also that it was leaving the country.
True. But over here, it doesn't really say, it says Beis Aviv. It doesn't say Eretz Aviv or Eretz Yisrael. So it's a little bit more problematic to say there. My Seder Radal wants to say that Pirkei Avos over here disagrees with the Seder Olam. Seder Olam says the Yaakov Avinu was 63 when he left, went to Sheva Eber for 14 years, and then when he was 77, got to Haran. The Radal says that Pirkei Avos disagreed and said no. But all the way till he was 77, he was by his father, and then he went straight to Haran. He never went to Shem Be'ever. He never, that 14 years, that's just included in Yaakov being by his parents' house. And so we have a machlekes of your Seder Olam and Pirkei Eliezer. Was Yaakov Avinu 63 when he left his parents' house, or was he 77 when he left his parents' house? So what can we say, how to understand the amkus of the machlekes? How can we understand what's causing these two different opinions over here? So I thought of one of two pshatim. Either you could say that the Seder, both of these pshatim are based on the assumptions that Seder Olam makes. The first is like this: Seder Olam makes an assumption that the same time that Yaakov Avinu left his father's house, that's when Esav married the daughter of Yishmael. And because Seder Olam is going to understand that at the time that Esav married the daughter of Yishmael, Yishmael died, right, and Yishmael was 137 when he died, so you see that Yaakov Avinu was 63. But what if Esav married the daughter of Yishmael before Yaakov Avinu left? He married the daughter of Yishmael, and Yishmael died then, whatever, and Yaakov Avinu was 63 when that happened. But then that's not kashur to Yaakov Avinu leaving. So maybe Pirkei Eliezer understood that those are two separate events. Esav marrying the daughter of Yishmael and Yaakov Avinu leaving, they didn't happen at the same time. So now you don't have a raya that he was 63 years old. Lamaisa, if you say like that, it's a little bit difficult because the psukim said that Yaakov Avinu left, and then the next pasuk says that Esav married the daughter of Yishmael. So it sounds like from the psukim that it happened at the same time. But if they ain't muktam u'muchal v'tayra, which, you know, we do say that in some places, so you can say that happened before he left. Of course, you would have to explain why did the Torah write it afterwards or whatever. That I don't know how to explain it. But the second shah we could say is that Seder Olam is making the assumption that when Esav married the daughter of Ishmael, that's when Ishmael died. Right? So we could say, no, maybe Ishmael died beforehand. Maybe Ishmael died before Esav married her. And when Ishmael died, when he was 137 and Yaakov Avinu was 63, that's when Ishmael died. And later on, when Yaakov Avinu was, say, was 77, that's when Esav married the daughter of Ishmael. And we could say that he married the daughter of Ishmael at the same time that Yaakov Avinu left. And then you don't have a steer. You still don't have a proof that Yaakov Avinu was 63 because Ishmael died a long time ago, 14 years before. So one of these two mahalakim probably would be the best shot in the pick of the Eliezer, why it says that Yaakov Avinu was 77 and the Seder Elam says he was 63. Nice, I found in the academic edition of Seder Elam from Dr. Chaim Milikovsky. He's a professor in Bar Ilan. He happens to be he used to be the son-in-law of Rav Shmuel Rozovsky, the Rosh Hashiva Ponovich. So Dr. Milikovsky points out that there's another ancient book, like Pirkei Eliezer, that says that Yaakov Avinu was 77 and left his parents' house. He brings a book from a Jewish-Greek chronographer, a historian named Demetrius the Chronographer, and he writes that Yaakov Avinu was 77 when he left his parents' house. So whatever Pirkei Eliezer is saying, you know, there's already an ancient source. This Demetrius lived in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, which predates Pirkei Eliezer. Pirkei Eliezer, let's say, was written at the end of the second Beis HaMikdash. This was written about 200 BCE. So like this predates Pirkei Eliezer by like 200 years. So you see there's some sort of Messiah also that says that he was 77. Okay, whatever. Let's go ahead.
How many years before?
200 years before Pirkei Eliezer. Okay, let's go back there. V'haysab ha-be'er mehalachas lefanav. And the be'er, the well of water, went in front of Yaakov Avinu, like we spoke about in last week's shir that you weren't here, that the be'er would go in front of the tzaddikim. Be'er sheva ad har ha-mayriya mehalach shnei yomim. And he went from be'er sheva, or the be'er went from, and he went from be'er sheva, that's where Yaakov Avinu and Yitzhak's family was living, from Be'er Sheva till Har Meriah. See, it says that Yaakov Avinu is leaving from Be'er Sheva. If he was learning by Shem Be'er for 14 years, he wouldn't be living from Be'er Sheva. He would be living from wherever the yeshiva of Shem Be'er was. Right? Yitzchak lived in Be'er Sheva, but Yaakov Avinu, he wasn't in Be'er Sheva. He was somewhere else. He was in, by Shem Be'er. See, again, the Pirkei Eliezer understood that.
Where is the
Sheva? I don't know, but Pash just not in Be'er Sheva, no?
I don't know, because when it says the Rivka, the ones, you know, by the Shiva and by the Zora, whatever happened to Esav and Yaakov, so it could be that she was, you know, she was so far off home.
I know, I'm pretty sure that Sefer Yashar expands on that story and might say where Shem Ve'Ever were located. Shem, who we've said before, was Malkit Tzedek, who was the king of Yerushalayim. So maybe Shem and Ever was in Yerushalayim. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe it was elsewhere, I don't know, I'm not sure.
Well,
Malki Tzedek is Shem, and Shem was the king. Okay, but that was also like 100 years earlier. Not 100 years earlier, but yeah, close to 100 years earlier. Could be he wasn't king anymore. We don't find anywhere after that story, after Avraham Avinu's lifetime, we don't find that Shem was the king of Yerushalayim anymore. But, fine, whatever. Ikitzer. So Yaakov Avinu was going from Be'er Sheva to Har Meriah, which is a journey of a 2 days journey, and he got there in half a day. B'chatzi ha'yoyim he'igia l'sham. He got there in the middle of the day, a half day, at midday. That's when he got there. Ufoga boy Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Kadosh Baruch Hu met him. Shneamar says the pasuk Vayivka b'makom v'yalein sham kivah shemesh. He reached the place. And he slept there because the sun had come. We're going to explain what that means. But so the pasuk says Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Sheva Vayelach Harana, right? The opening words of Parshas Vayetze. And then it says Vayivka B'Mokoyim. He reached the place. So here we're darshaning that the place, the Mokoyim, doesn't literally mean the place where he went to. Rather, the place is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called the place. Hamokar Menachem is right. Baruch Hamokar and Baruch Hu. Hashem is called the place. So for Yifka Hamokar means he reached Hashem. Hashem greeted him. Hashem greeted him at Har Meriah, and we're going to see in a few minutes exactly what did Hashem tell Yaakov Avinu there. So we mentioned just a few points. We mentioned over here that Rabbi Leo Me Izmir asked the question. He says, "What do you mean, Hashem?" Okay, we'll skip that point for now. We'll say over this point. Hachu. We say that the distance from Be'er Sheva to Har Meriah is 2 days. It's a journey of 2 days. So the Radal asks the question that Avraham Avinu, he was living in Be'er Sheva, and when he went to go do a Kedesh Yitzchak, so it says that Bayam Ashlishi, on the third day, he got to Har Meriah. So you see, it takes 3 days, not 2 days. So the Radal says that, no, what it means that it was on the third day, it means the beginning of the third day. He traveled for Avraham Avinu traveled for 2 days, and on the third day, the beginning of the third day, that's when he got to Har Meriah. So really, it's a journey of 2 days. That's what the Radal says. I wanted a time that maybe you could say that Avraham Avinu was, you know, a pretty old man. He was 137 when he was going to Kedesh Yitzchak, so maybe he was walking a little bit slower. So when the Medrash says over here that it's a 2 day journey, that's for an average person. But someone who's older, it might take him more than 2 days. It took him, Avraham Avinu took 3 days. Okay, whatever. So there's another thing the Gemara says in Mesachas Chulin, Daf Sadek Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara explains the Psukim that I just read before for Parshas Vayetze a little bit differently. The Gemara says, Vayetze Yaakov in Be'er Sheva Vayelech Harano. And then it says, Vayivka B'mokim. Right? So, first it says, Vayetze Yaakov in Be'er Sheva Vayelech Harano. He left Be'er Sheva and he went to Haran. And then it says that he got to the place. Wait a second. It already says that he went to Haran. Now, why does it say he got to the place, so to Har Meriah? He already went to Haran. So the Gemara says, what happened was, Yaakov went to Haran, he already got there, and then he said, is it possible that I passed through the place where my forefathers had davened, had prayed, and I didn't go pray? So then he decided that he wants to go back to Har Meriah to go daven there. And then the Gemara says, the moment that he decided that, he had a special kfitzas aderech, and he reached the place. Vayifka b'mokrim means he reached the place. The place greeted him. Not Hashem greeted him, ha'mokrim meaning the Hashem, rather the place greeted him. Hashem folded the earth so that Yaakov Avinu would greet. Yaakov Avinu is standing over here in Haran, and Hashem sort of folded the earth so that this place, Har Meriah, would reach him, and that the place reached him. And he got to Har Meriah. Not like, so our Medrash says that, no, stop. On his way, he stopped off in Har Meriah. The Gemara says, no, he went to Haran, and then he decided to go back, and then he went back to Har Meriah. Slightly different. The Mizrahi, the Pashas Vayetze, Parak Chav Ches Pasu Yedzayin, the Mizrahi points out that it's a machlekes between our Gemara and Chulin and this Medrash Pirkei Deb Eliezer. Fine. Vulama, okay, so we said the Hashem, Pirkei Deb Eliezer says that Hashem greeted him, right? And we said Vayifka B'mokim means Hashem greeted him. Vulama Nikar Shemay Mokim, why is Hashem called the Mokim, the place? Ela B'chol Mokim Shazadikim Sham, Hu Nimtza Imahem. Rather, the reason why Hashem is called the place is to teach us that any place where the tzaddikim are there, Hashem is with them. At any place where I mention my name, that's the end of the pasuk. Whoever Hashem's name is mentioned, Hashem is going to go there. So wherever the tzaddikim are, and the Radal says there's a different case of where the tzaddikim stand, which the Radal explains means where they stand, where they make a kviyah, that they're going to go and they're going to daven there, or they're going to learn there, that the tzaddikim make it like this is their place for learning or davening. Yeah. So that's where Hashem is going to come. But not stand wherever the tzaddikim are, Hashem is. Because, you know, then if that's true, then wherever Yaakov Avinu was, then Hashem is already with him. So why is it saying, oh, now he got to Har Meriah and Hashem greeted him. Hashem was with him wherever he was. So it means wherever the tzaddikim or kaveya, where they set themselves down as this is a place of prayer, or this is a place of learning, that's where Hashem is. Belial me Ismail asks a question, he says, what do you mean, wherever the tzaddikim are, so Hashem is. Hashem is everywhere. Hashem is even where the Rishayim are. So why are you saying wherever the tzaddikim are, Hashem is? Hashem is everywhere. Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere, right? It's a Beferish song, Kumayshi song.
Could it mean the Shekhinah?
Possibly.
Because like we said in this week's Pirkei Avos, if two people are learning Torah, the Shekhinah is there.
Yeah.
Show that in other places the Shekhinah isn't.
It could be.
And by Rishayim, the Shnei is not there.
So it actually, in my Sefer Yevamos, I spoke about that Mishnah in Avos, and there's if you look at the Chassid Yaibitz on that Mishnah, he says he asked different places in Chazal where it sounds like that you need more people to have Shekhinah come, more than two. There's a Gemara in Yevamos that says you need 600,000 people for the Shekhinah to come, because it says Vunuchu Yer Mar Shuv Hashem Ruvavoyis Alfa Yisrael, and Ruvavoyis tells you that it has to be 600,000 people, whatever. So, and there's other places that say even one person who's sitting and learning the Shekhinah comes. So the Chassid Yaibitz says there's different dargas of Hashras HaShekhinah, whatever that means. I don't know what that means, but it could be this is what Rabbi Leomi Israel is saying. I don't know exactly what his answer is. He says like by the tzaddikim, so it's not, the Shekhinah is not hidden. By Rishoyim, the Shekhinah is there, but it's hidden. I'm not sure exactly what these things mean. This is something to think about. But Omar Loi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said to Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov, halechem betzikloimcha, the bread is in your basket, or the Radal says, that's what the Marzu says. The Radal says that tzikloimcha means some sort of clothing. It's like the bread is in your pocket, something like that. Va'be'er lefonecha, and the well is in front of you. Lechal v'lishtes v'makem esef, for you to drink and to eat in this place. So, you know, it's like someone comes into your house, he's a guest. So you tell him, sit down, make a mezonos, have something to drink. That's what Hashem is telling Yaakov Avinu. You're here by Har Moriah, the mountain of Hashem. So Hashem says to him, Yaakov Avinu, please come, sit down, eat something, drink something. Now we see the godless of Yaakov Avinu. Omer lefano, he said that in front of Hashem, Ribbono shel olam, master of the universe, al achshav lo yored haShemesh 50 yiridos, v'ani sheichev amokim. What you want me to? The sun hasn't gone down 50 degrees, and you want me to sit down and lay down in this place? Oof. Meaning like this, Hashem's telling Yaakov, no, sit down, eat, drink, you know, make yourself at home over here in Har Moriah. But Leomi Israel has a whole pshat over here that the reason is because when a tzaddik eats, it's like a korban. So Yaakov, you know, on his way to Haran, he was robbed by one of Esav's grandsons. Elifaz. So Yaakov didn't have anything with him, so he would have brought a korban, but he didn't have anything to bring as a korban. So Hashem is giving him a chance, like, if you sit and eat. So the Mefarshim say that a tzaddik who eats is like he's bringing a korban. There's a Gemara in the Yuma that says, Kol mamalik gurani shel tamidei chachamim yayin ki ilu menaschel lefnei mizbeach. If you feed a Talmid Chacham, it's as if you brought yayin on the mizbeach. So it's the same idea. When a tzaddik eats, it's like he's bringing a korban. So Hashem is telling him, look, you don't have an actual korban, but you can sit down and eat and drink, and that's going to be as if you brought a korban. That's what Hashem is telling Yaakov Avinu. And what's Yaakov Avinu's response? Yaakov Avinu's like, what do you mean? I'm in the middle of traveling. It's the middle of the day. I'm not going to sit down and eat and drink. I have a job to do. I'm supposed to get somewhere. I can't make a rest stop in the middle of the day for no reason. It's the sun hasn't gone down yet. It's still in the middle of the day. I'm still supposed to be traveling.
That's the
angle. Oh, one second. We'll get to that point in a second. Right? We find this midah of going back to what we said last week with the contrast between Yaakov and Esav. So we said that Esav is from Lashon Asui. Esav is made. He was already, when he was born, he was already hairy. He was already a made person. He didn't have to work on himself anymore. That's what Esav believes. I don't have to work on myself. I am who I am, Bezo. Right? Yaakov Avinu is the opposite. Yaakov Avinu is constantly working on himself. He's Yoshev Aholim, he's learning Torah, he's trying to make himself into a better person as much as he can. Right? So Yaakov Avinu is trying, if you want to say it in different terms, that Esav is the epitome of laziness. I don't have to do anything, I don't have to work on myself. I'm what I am, and that's it, and you know, just accept it and deal with it. That's Esav. Yaakov is trying to work on himself and do as much as he can, but we find that when Yaakov Avinu gets to Haran, so we'll see that in next week's parak. So he meets the shepherds, and it's like the shepherds are like, you know, he helps them get water or whatever, and then they start going home or something like that. He sees the shepherds and they're like hanging around by the well. So Yaakov was like, what do you mean? What are you hanging out by the well? You're supposed to be, it's not time for you to like hang out and finish up the job in the middle of the day. You're supposed to be working, right? You can't be lazy. Right, so it's the same. It's that same meat over here by Yaakov. It's like, it's the middle of the day. I'm supposed to be traveling. I can't just sit down and start eating. That's Yaakov. He's working on himself. He's not lazy. So what's this thing of 50 degrees? Okay, So it says Lo yarad shemesh chamishim yiridos. The sun hasn't gone down 50 degrees. What's that talking about? So we know that the sun moves, let's say, in a circular motion, right, and a circle is made up of 360 degrees. Right? So from one point where the sun is to the exact same point again the next day is 360 degrees. Right? So that means that if you want to split it in half, that's a 24-hour period. If you want to split it in half, every day is 180 degrees and every night is 180 degrees. The sun's above the horizon and 180 degrees where it's below the horizon. Right? That's 180 degrees. Now, so 12 hours is 180 degrees. 6 hours, right, half of 12 hours, is 90 degrees. Right? So from the sun to go from, you know, from early morning, from let's say using the perfect day where sunrise is 6 o'clock and sunset is 6 o'clock, right? The perfect 12-hour day. So from the sun to go from 6 o'clock in the morning to 12 o'clock in the afternoon is 90 degrees, right? So the question is, we said that Yaakov Avinu got there in midday. He got there 12 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, Yaakov Avinu was telling Hashem, well, but the sun didn't go down yet, 50 degrees. What 50 degrees? From 12 o'clock in the afternoon till sunset is 90 degrees, not 50 degrees.
It wasn't winter.
What? No, in winter, summer, it doesn't matter. Winter, summer just determines how long how long those degrees are going to be in terms of minutes.
Yeah,
in times on the clock. But it's the same amount of degrees. It's always going to be... What? It's not going to be 6 hours on the clock, but it's going to be 6 sun hours, 6 shoizmanias,
yeah, okay.
Which is always going to be 90 degrees. So why is that going to say 50 degrees?
He knows it's at 90. He says it hasn't gotten to 50 yet.
No. Till Shkia is going to be another 90. So he's saying it hasn't gone down 50 degrees. There's another 50 degrees for it to go down. But it's not 50 degrees. 50 degrees is going to be somewhere like...
Same?
Yeah.
It hasn't gone down 50.
Yeah, it's 50. Not here, so when it has to be dark, when it's dark, it should be here 90 degrees. That's the thing.
No, but he's saying maybe by afternoon at Hamishim degrees, then maybe I could have a meal. But right now it's at 90.
You're saying that Yaakov Avinu didn't mean that he would only sit down if it's night. He would sit down if it's like getting closer to night, but it's not even close to night. That's what you're saying.
Yeah,
I hear.
And 50 maybe some number that
it's
more relevant.
It's not even. I hear.
It's 90.
It's like 50 degrees would be, let's say, something like 3:30 in the afternoon. Okay, so you say like, if it was 3:30 in the afternoon, achnabi. If it, now that it's only 12, so I'm not gonna. I hear.
That's what I thought.
The Marzu asked this question.
Why? Why? Why do we translate the readers as degrees?
I don't know.
Maybe the readers is 2 degrees. It's gonna have 50. It's like 45. It could be.
The Marzu entertains the possibility that whoever will pick the blazer is working with a different view exactly of using different terminologies for what we say about degrees in geometry or whatever.
I don't know.
It could be it's working with a different system. I saw Gishmak Pshat in the Sefer Zichron Yitzchak on the Ramban on Chumash, Parashas Vayetze. He says like this. What's the problem? It's 12 o'clock now, right? And Yaakov is saying there's another 90. It should be saying that there's 90 degrees till the sun goes down, not 50 degrees. So the Zichron Yitzchak says, no, we're making a mistake. It's not 12 o'clock now. It said that Yaakov got there at 12 o'clock. But then he went and he davened Mincha. Wait, of course he's going to daven Mincha, right? So it's 12 o'clock, right? Time to daven Mincha. Now, he davened Mincha. The Gemara in Brachis says, Lamed Beis Lamed Beis, it says the Chassidim Rishonim, it would take them 3 hours to daven. An hour beforehand, an hour to daven, and an hour afterwards. So we could say that Yaakov Avinu didn't take him much 3 hours, but it took him a little bit less than 3 hours. 3 hours would be 45 degrees, right? And then it would make it 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and that would be halfway towards the evening. So we could say that, no, it took Yaakov Avinu, you know, a little bit less than 3 hours. So that, I'm sorry, a little bit more than 3 hours. Right? So so that we may, so that he, so that he, no, less, a little bit less, a little bit less than 3 hours.
So then you get to the coming
train. Right, so a little bit less than 3 hours, right? So a little bit less than 3 hours. So then he, let's say he dive in, and now it's 45. He dive in 45 degrees in the day. It's 45 degrees from Chatzoyit. 50 degrees, whatever. And then,
now he's saying
there's only 50 left. 50 left till the left. So it's like 3. So we assume that we're talking at 12 o'clock, but he's saying no, it's really like more like 2:30 in the afternoon or something like that. And he's saying 50 degrees left from there. Okay, different, slightly different shot. Okay, let's go weiter. Uvalay itoy bo hashemesh b'mayiv. So we, again, Hashem invited Yaakovina to sit down and eat and whatever, and Yaakovina said, no, I still have to travel because it's the middle of the day. So what happens? Uvalay itoy bo hashemesh b'mayiv. And not being in its time, the sun came down in the west, and the sun set. Hashem made an ace that the sun went down, even though it was too early for the sun to go down. Ve'ibit Yaakov v'ro'as Hashemesh bo b'mayiv, and Yaakov looked and he saw the sun going down in the west. Vayolein sham, and he slept there. Shneimer, it says the pasuk, Vayolein sham, he slept there. Ki vo Hashemesh, because the sun hath come. Fine. Later. Lokach Yaakov 12 avonim me'avnei hamizbeach. Yaakov Avinu took 12 stones from the stones of the mizbeach shenekad alav Yitzchak of Aviv. 12 stones from the Mizbeach that his father Yitzhak had been tied upon, bound upon. Because the pasuk says, "Vayikach me'avnei hamakoyim." He took from the stones of the place. What's the place? So Radal says that it's the place that Yitzhak Avinu had previously been bound over there by Kedesh Yitzhak. So Yaakov Avinu took those stones from that Mizbeach. And Yaakov Avinu put those stones around his head, but isay makoyim at that place. To teach him, it was a simon. Shasidin lamed b'menu shnei masor shvatim. It's a simon that in the future he's destined to have come from him 12 tribes, 12 rocks, 12 tribes. V'nasel chulon even achas, and all of those 12 stones became like one rock under his head when he was sleeping. Like Rashi and Chumash says that they were fighting over which one gets to sleep under his head, so they all turned into one. But Medrash here says that what's the significance of the 12 becoming one? To teach you that in the future, all of Kali Yisrael is going to be like one nation in the land. Even though we're 12 tribes, we're going to be like one nation. Shemaret says, "Vasuk mika amcha Yisrael goy echad baret." It's one nation in the land, not 12 nations. Klal Yisrael split up into 12. It's one big nation of Klal Yisrael. Okay, so Yaakov Avinu took the 12 stones from the mizbeach that Yitzchak had previously been nekad on. The Zayis Ranan asked a kasha. Zayis Ranan in the Yalkut Shemayni in Remez Kuf Yud Ches, when the Yalkut Shemayni brings down this medrash, the Zayis Ranan asks like this. He says, there's a halacha that the stones of the Mizbeach are kadosh, and they're also to get benefit from it. It's also ba'ana, right? It belongs to the Beis Hamikdash, it belongs to Hashem, to the Gvoya. So how can Yaakov Avinu use that for his personal use to put it under his head? It's also.
We're assuming now it's different stones than Yitzhak used, or they're all...
No, we're saying it's the same stones that made up the Mizbeach that Yitzhak was nekad on, right?
Okay, but we're assuming that that is the same kedusha as the mizbeach. When you say the mizbeach, right? Don't you mean the mizbeach after Am Yisrael came there to Israel? They made a mizbeach.
No.
When Yitzhak mizbeach.
Yeah, yeah. When Avraham Avinu went to do the Kedesh Yitzchak, so he took 12 stones or whatever, he built them up as a mizbeach, and he tied Yitzchak onto that mizbeach. Right?
And
on
became
that
kodesh.
And those stones became kodesh. So how could Yaakov Avinu derive benefit from those stones? They're kodesh.
Wood.
He used wood on top of the mizbeach for the fire, but not the mizbeach itself is made out of stone. Okay, so the Zayis Ranan says, and don't tell me that the kedusha of this mizbeach was only temporary; it wasn't permanent, because he says that this is also the mizbeach we spoke about before. That this is also the mizbeach that Noach had sacrificed on. So you see, it's not a temporary mizbeach. It's a permanent mizbeach. It existed even before Yitzchak. So how could it be that Yaakov Avinu derived benefit from those stones? So then the Zayis Ranan says, maybe you'll tell me it was pikuach nefesh, because he's using it to save himself from the animals. He says, pikuach nefesh? But Pikuach Nefesh, it would only be mutter if those are the only stones in the entire area. It's hard to tell me that these were the only stones in the entire area that Pikuach Nefesh demanded that he had to use dafka these stones to protect himself. So the Zayis Ra'anan says a chiddush like this. He says that when we say that, this actually it applies to a general thing in all of Torah. When there's something that's usser, right, it's only the actual technical isser is only there in the normal circumstances, right? For example, I don't know, let's say if you eat pig, the Torah says you're not allowed to eat pig, yeah? What if I eat pig, but I eat it without chewing it? Or I eat pig raw, or something like that. I don't know, eating pig raw, probably also, right? So that's not the normal way of eating pig, right? You don't eat it raw, you don't eat it without chewing it, it's like a food. And you do it in a weird way, so it's usser, but you don't get malchus for it. It's not punishable.
Right? Eating
meat and
milk. What?
That has not been cooked. Right, meat and, no, because that's not even awesome in the right, because the whole is the possible call is bishop. But anyway. But so he wants to say that over here, when something is hektish and it's also to derive benefit from it, then it's only also to derive benefit from it in the usual way that you derive benefit. Right? But since Yaakovin was using the stones in a weird way, putting it around your head to protect you from animals is not a regular way of getting benefit from stones. That's not normal people aren't using stones for that purpose. So then he says that it's going to be mutter. Because that's not called getting benefit. That's not called a hana. That's the chiddush of the Yalkut, of the Zayis Ra'anan and the Yalkut Shani. Oh, we'll speak back about this in a few minutes. Right, let's go back there. Rabbi Levi Omer. Rabbi Levi says, "Ba'isra Laila, Harilei Kodesh Baruch Hu as Kol Ha'isos." And that night, Hashem showed him all different signs. Herahu Sulam, I made min ha'aretz for Adar Shemayim. Hashem showed Yaakov Avinu a Sulam, a ladder that was standing from the heavens all the way to from the earth all the way to the heavens. Shneimer, it says the pasuk, "Vayachaloyim." He dreamt, "Vihine Sulam," and behold, there was a ladder. So Yaakov Avinu had the famous dream with the ladder. Umalachi Asharis Eilam Yardim Bay. And the ministering angels were going up and down the ladder. V'rayin Panav Shal Yaakov. And the ministering angels saw the face of Yaakov Avinu. V'aymrim. And what did they say? They said, Ze ha'panim kifnei ha'chaya shebekisei ha'kovoy. This face is like the face of the animal on the kisei ha'kovoy. What's this talking about? So if you look in the Pesukim, towards the beginning of Yechezkel, when Yechezkel's Nevuah describes the Kisei covered, the chair of glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it says that there were four creations, the images of four different creations that were on the Kisei covered of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One is a lion, who is the king of animals, of Chayos. One is a Nesher, which is Pashas, an eagle, which is the king of birds. One is a kruv, which is a cherub, a type of a malach, which is like the king of malachim. And one is a person, and who is the face of that person? So the Medrash is saying over here, and it's also Gemara Chulin, that the face of that person was Yaakov Avinu. So when the angels were going up and down in Shemayim, and they saw Yaakov Avinu, and they went up to Shem, and they saw the Kisei HaKavod, they said, "Hey, that face of the Kisei HaKavod, that's the face of Yaakov Avinu." That's what the angels saw over there. What? Because these four creations that I said that are on the Kisei HaKavod, they're known as the Dalot Chayos, the four Chayos. That's what they're called in literature. I think it might even be in the Pesukim in Yechezkel, called the Arba Chayos, the four beasts. I don't know, something like that. And obviously, the Gemara Bava Basra says that Yaakov Avinu looked like Adam Rishon. So the idea of Yaakov Avinu being on the Kisei HaKavod represents the fact that Yaakov Avinu was sort of a tikkun for the chet of Adam Rishon. He was the Muslim, a complete person. So Yaakov Avinu was a complete person. So that's why his face was dafka on the Kisei HaKavod. And the stan idea of the Kisei HaKavod represents the fact that these four animals are under the Kisei HaKavod, and Hashem is on top of them. Hashem, even though they're kings of their particular domains, right, the lion is the king of the chaya, is the king of the jungle, whatever. So, but Hashem is still king of the lion. Or the nesher is the king of the eagle, is the king of the birds. Hashem is the king of the eagle, etc. There's an interesting drush they say over here. from Reb Shimshon Me'Asr Polio. Because in Yaakov Avinu's dream, so when he wakes up, he says, Achein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh v'anochi lo yadati. He says, Achein, indeed, Hashem is in this place, v'anochi lo yadati, and I didn't know. So Reb Shimshon Me'Asr Polio explains the pasuk a little bit differently in his with his mahalach. Says Achein is Reshi Tevis, Aryeh, Kruv, Nesher. So Yaakov Avinu says in the dream, after he had his dream, he says, Achein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh. Achein, I knew about that by the Kisei Kavod there's Achein, Aryeh, Kruv, and Nesher. V'anoichi lo yadati. But Anoichi, which is Reshi Tevis, Aryeh, Nesher, Kruv, Yaakov, lo yadati. I didn't know that my face was up there in Shemayim. That I only know about because of this dream. That was revealed to me in the dream. Achein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh. Anoichi lo yadati. That's the Reb Shimshon Me'Asr Polio. The problem with the Vart is, such a good Vart, how can there be a problem with it, right? The problem with the Vart is like this. Really, in Yechezkel, there's sort of a stira between different parts of Yechezkel. What were the four creatures? Was it Aryeh, Kruv, Nesher, man, right? A lion, a cherub, eagle, and a person? Or was it lion, ox, eagle, person? Was it an ox or a cherub? Which one was it? An ox is the king of the behemoths, a shar is the king of behemoths, and a kruv is the king of the malachim. So which one was the fourth animal? A shar or an ox, or a kruv? So Chazal tell us in different midrashim, Medrash Eicha, a few places, that before the Chet HaEgel, it was a shar. And after the Chet HaEgel, because Klal Yisrael was chete with the image of a cow, or a bovine image, a cow, a calf, an ox, it's all the same family, right? So Hashem took away the shar from the Kisei Kavod and replaced it with a kruv. Right? That's what the Midrash tells us. So now, if that's true, so then you lost the whole part from Shimshon Me'Asr Polio, because Achein is Aryeh, Kruv, Nesher, but there's no Kruv. It wasn't a Kruv yet, it was only a Shar. Okay. That's a good part. Yeah, but this is what this is the Ha'ar that they ask in this part. Maybe it's Machlikus somewhere, I don't know. Yeah, maybe it's going on the future. Elu Oilem ve'elu Yardim. These angels were going up, these angels were going down. Shemer ve'inei malachei elikim Oilem ve'yardim ba'i. Behold, the angels of Hashem are going up and coming down on that ladder.
Sorry.
We spoke about...
It would be a bigger chiddush thing. Even though I can see the future of my future generation, I didn't know that my face was there, in one of them. Even though they're gonna, change between ox and malachim.
It could be.
A
saying it's going on the future.
If it's going on the future, it's a bigger chiddush when it says anoichi.
Right. I hear.
That word, I knew, but that word, that extension, that my face is up there, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. I'm exaggerating.
Yeah. So it said that the angels are going up and the angels are going down. We spoke about before, when we were talking like in paragraph like Chaf or something, like way before, the question, the famous question, if angels have wings, so why do they need a ladder to go up? Right?
We
spoke about this. Why do they need to go down? Why do they need to go up? They have a ladder. Why do they need a ladder? They have wings.
The brothers were the same angels that lost their wings.
Right, they lost the wings because they gave it their wings to the lady, yeah, to be Mizana, and she took the wings and flew away. Right, there's such a thing. And there was another Vart that somebody wanted to say that they were baby angels, that they didn't grow their wings yet. Whatever, okay. Ve'erel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Arba Malchiyos Moishlin Va'evdin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Yaakov Avinu the four kingdoms that are going to rule over Klal Yisrael and the destruction of those four kingdoms. Right, we spoke about that in Parakot Ches, about the Arba Malchiyos, the different Golios. First Hashem showed Yaakov Avinu the Sar, the ministering angel of the king of the Malchus Bavel, of the kingdom of Bavel, that it went up 70 rungs on the ladder, and then it came down. Right? That represents the fact that Bavel is going to rule over Klal Yisrael for 70 years, and then Bavel is going to fall down. Veherohu sar malchus modai oile chamishim. Okay, so let's just read it like this. First of all, the way I have it printed over here, I think it's a mistake, and the other midrashim say it differently. Vayikra Rabba Parsha Chavtes Simon Beis has it differently, in line with the Gemara of Avodah Zarah Daf Tes. So we'll read it from the way I think that it's supposed to be read, even though I looked in the manuscript and they didn't fix this up. But it says, actually, in the manuscript edition, this part was also taken out. Like I said last week, a lot of things in this parak for some reason didn't exist there. But it says, "Behero sar malchus paras umadai." Hashem showed him the ministering angel of the kingdom of Paras and Madai, Persia and Media. Ola chamishim u'shnayim ukim v'yared. It went up 52 rungs and then it fell down, representing the fact that Paras and Madai collectively are going to rule over Klal Yisrael for 52 years. Behero sar malchus yovan. Not Paras, but Yovan. Hashem showed Yaakov Avinu the ministering angel of the kingdom of Greece that's going to go up 180 rungs and then fall, representing the fact that Greece is going to rule over Eretz Yisrael for 180 years and then their downfall will come. That was the Malchus Chashmonoim. And Hashem showed him the ministering angel of the kingdom of Edom that went up and up and up and it never came down. Vaymer, and the pasuk says about the king, about Edom, it says Ele Abama say of Edom Ele Elyon. It's talking about Esav saying, I'm going to be Ele Abama say of, I'm going to go up on the thick Bama, on the thick high place, Edom Ele Elyon, I'm going to make myself similar to Hashem. Amola Yaakov, Yaakovinu said, I guess to the ministering angel of Esav, he said, Ach el Sha'ol Turad al Yarkes Evar. However, to the Sha'ol, which is a type of Gehenim, you're going to go down al Yarkes Evar, to the insides of a big pit. That's where you're going to go down. Even though Yaakovinu didn't see the downfall of Edom, right? Because that represents the Golos that we're in now, which is going to be a very overly long Golos, and you know the end is not necessarily in sight from the beginning. And we don't know exactly when it's supposed to end. But Yaakov says to him, but you're going to fall down. Don't think you're going to keep going up and up and up and be like Hashem. You're going to fall down. Similarly, Hashem said to the ministering angel of Edom, this is a pasuk in Avadia in Treasar, which is read for, as the Haftarah Parshas Vayishlach. It's talking about the downfall of Esav. It says, Im Kanesh, Im, what's the pasuk say? I just lost the place. Im Tagbia Kanesher. The end of the passage is in Tagbiya Kanesh, if you're going to go up, raise yourself up like an eagle. Ve'im bein kechavim sim kinacha, and if you place your nest amongst the stars, when you're going to go all the way up, and that's where you're going to think you're going to live. Misham oiridcha nu'um Hashem. From there, I'm going to bring you down, is the word of Hashem. So Hashem says that to Esav, you think you're going to keep going up, but really I'm going to make sure that you come down. Some interesting thing over here, it's Mavur over here, that the ladder that Yaakov Avinu saw in his dream had at least 180 rungs. Right? We don't know what?
The Shemaim, I'm sure.
But we don't know exactly how many, but it was at least 180. The Rambam in Mari Nebuchim, when he talks about the story of Yaakov Avinu with this dream, right? So he brings B'shem Medrash Tanchuma that there were 4 rungs on the ladder of Yaakov Avinu. He just says 4. He doesn't bring this whole thing about the Arba Golios, he just says that there were 4 rungs. And different mafreshim speak about what's the significance of 4 rungs, whatever. But
according to this, it was way more than 180.
Right.
He didn't say at least 180 because Edom kept going.
Right. But I'm saying we can for sure quantify that as at least 180 because that's the highest number that we see. But it could be an infinite. I don't know. Hopefully it's not infinite. Hopefully it's almost over.
Well, we can promise that it's not.
Yeah. Okay. Weiter. Mikana to lomid. Oh, sorry, I skipped the line. Hishkim Yaakov befachad gadol. Yaakovinu woke up with great fear. But Amar, he said, "Beis Hashem Kadosh Baruch Hu b'makom hazeh." The house of Hashem is at this place. Shenemar, it says the pasuk, "Vayira Yaakov, Vayira Vayomar." He was scared, and he said, "Manoyah hamakom hazeh." How awesome is this place? So he said that this is the place of the Hashem's house. This is Hashem's house. Mikana to lomid, says the Medrash. From here you learn. These words are actually a famous song nowadays. Shekala mitzvah b'makayim hazeh b'Yerushalayim. Anyone who prays in this place in Yerushalayim, ki'ilu hispalel lefnei kisei ha'kavod. It's as if he prayed in front of the cloud, the in front of the chair of glory of Hashem. Shishara shamayim shomhu, because the gates to the heaven are there. Pesach pasuach l'shvayet tefillah, and there is an open pesach, an open door to hear the prayers. Shenemar, because it says in the pasuk, Yaakov Avinu said, "Vezeh shara shamayim," and this is the gate to the heavens. So this place in Yerushalayim, this place by the Makom HaMikdash, is a place that you can, a person can daven and it goes straight to Hashem. Because over there, there's an opening, the opening goes straight to Hashem, and the tefillahs can go straight to that opening. I am not in Shemayim. So it says that if you pray in Yerushalayim, but Makom HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, it's as if you're praying in front of the Kisei Kavod, like as if you're mamish in Shemayim. But so he woke up and he went to gather up the stones. And he found first of all, stones. Why did Yaakov even want to go gather the stones? Okay. Like what's the significance? Maybe like he realized that he's not supposed to be using them, but he had to use them for whatever reasons, because it was Pikuach Nefesh or whatever. And then he wanted to gather them up and put them back nicely afterwards. But what did he find? He found that those 12 stones had turned into one stone. Yaakov took that one stone and he put it as a matzeva in the place. Rashi and Chumash speaks about the difference between a mizbeach and a matzeva. What's the difference between a mizbeach and a matzeva? They're both made out of stone. A mizbeach is made out of multiple stones and a matzeva is made out of one stone. That's what Rashi says in Chumash. Yeah. Right.
It says in the prayer in the Torah, don't
build
matzeva.
Right. So Yaakov took that one stone and he made it into matzeva.
What?
Right. The Sefri in Parshas Shoftim says that matzeva was ohuv lefnei hamakom in the time of the avos, in the time of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. Matzeva was something that Hashem liked. And then, afterwards, when the Goyim started using it for Avodah Zarah, so then it became Sonui Lifnei Avogah, it became something hated in front of Hashem. And then Hashem said, it's also to make a Matzeva. Lo Yitzakim L'cha Matzeva.
I could be wrong, but I realized in this past year,
yeah,
in Bereshis, that only Yaakov ever made a Matzeva. Avraham Yitzhak never did, for the Pesukim, Yaakov made a few.
It could be.
I was wondering why.
It could be, you're right.
I'm
not sure, I don't know.
Still, I could be wrong. But
no, I seem to remember something like that also from the Pesukim. It could be, you're right, that before, explicitly in the Pesukim it sounds like only. But also, the word Mizbeach, it could be that the word Mizbeach is in a general term, which also could mean a Matzeva. Like a Matzeva is a type of Mizbeach.
What do you call a Matzeva in
what do you call Mizbeach in English?
I'm saying
the thing they put in a tombstone.
Tombstone.
Yeah.
Tombstone.
What do you want in your tombstone?
No.
Pepperoni and cheese.
You call it Mizbeach.
Yeah.
Because
it's one stone. Are they really one stone? I don't know how they. I've never.
I thought Mizbeach was a few stones, like an oat.
I know somebody who makes tombstones. Who was it? I know somebody who's...
Rod Stewart?
Who? I don't know. If I remember who it was, I'll have to try to ask that person. Because I'm not sure how they make them exactly. Are they really made out of stone?
Yeah.
Maybe they're coated?
No,
I don't know, I'm just stone. Anyways, so the question is like this. There's a halacha that klish nishtamish by hedyin, al yishtamish by legvoya. Something that was used for a private person, you're not allowed to use it to make a mizbeach, or a matzeva, or whatever, right? So how could it be that Yaakov Avinu took these stones that he used as a pillow, and now he's using that stone that he made, he's taking his pillow and he's making his pillow into a matzeva or a mizbeach for Hashem. You can't use something that you use for a personal use for Hashem.
Because it was a miracle. Because there was a nice.
Oh, one second. So this question, the tour, Pirush HaTur HaLatur, not the Balaturim, the same person, but besides the Balaturim, which is like Gematrias and other like Jewish type things, he has like a longer Pirush on Chumash called Pirush HaTur, Pirush HaTur Aruch on Chumash, which is similar to like the tour in the tour, like where he brings down all different Rishayim and Ramban and different Palitesis or whatever. So the tour has a Pirush on Chumash where he asks this question in Pirush HaTur HaLatur, Bereishis Chav Ches Yud Ches. And he answers, no, that's only by a mizbech, but by a boma, it's mutter. A mizbech is like in the Beit Hamikdash or the Mishkan or whatever, that's a mizbech. So he says that you can't use something that a person used for personal use for the stones of mizbech, that you can't do. But for a boma, which is a private mizbech, that you're allowed to do. That's what the Pirush HaTur HaLatur says. Myself, the tshuva from the Chassam Sefer in Orach Chaim Simin Mem, tshuva Chassam Sefer, where he asks the same question, he's mechavin to Pirush HaTur's question, and he says, don't tell me that by a bama it's mutter, only by mizbech it's aser, and he brings the whole richas why also by a bama should be aser. So he says, so how can it be that Yaakov Avinu did this? So he says a tarts like this, based on the Zayis Ranan we said a few minutes ago. The Zayis Ranan says that this, that Yaakov Avinu took the stones and put it around his head when he went to sleep, that's not called getting hana from it, because that's a weird way of getting hana. So the Chassam Sefer says that because, like the Zayis Ranan says, that's not called getting enough from these stones, because the Zayis Ranan's problem was that they had previously been a Mizbeach. Our problem now is, how could you now take it into Mizbeach? Some Sefer says, it wasn't called like he used it. That's not called using it. It's not Klish Nishtamish by Hegel. You didn't use it. It was you did some weird thing with it, that you happened to be using it as a pillow, but that's not something you use the stones for, to use it as a pillow. So some Sefer says, that's why it was Mutter, because it wasn't called that he used it. In the Teres Maisha from Chassam Sefer, and also in Chiddush Chassam Sefer Al Torah, in one of the footnotes, and also the Teres Shlema from Menachem Kasher, so they want to say like what Rabbi Pomerantz wanted to say. That, I mean, maybe this is what you wanted to say. That when Yaakov went to sleep, he took 12 stones, put it under his head, and that's what he put it around himself, and that's what he went to sleep with. Right? He woke up, now it's one stone. It's the same thing, or it's a different thing? Or it's a new thing, right? It's not the same thing that Yaakov Avinu used. It's a different thing. It's a new. It's a new object. So this new object you're allowed to use in the mizbeach.
Yeah, we don't know what happened. So we
don't know. While he was sleeping, before
he was sleeping, he was still using cartons.
No, but he. I was thinking that also, but if it happened while he was sleeping, you can't say that he used it because he didn't actively go and use it because. You can only say he used it if he did something with it. He didn't do anything with it. Like, it changed while he was sleeping underneath him. So it's hard to say that. Now I'm asking.
I wanted to say something completely different.
Oh, 1 second. So we compare this to by the Mishkan. So one of the jewelry they used for the gold in the Mishkan was the kumaz. The kumaz, Rashi says, what's kumaz? Kumaz is Kan Mokim Zima. It's some sort of promiscuous jewelry, type of jewelry or whatever that they. Yeah, whatever. That was some Rishayim say, it's the worst things, whatever. But whatever exactly the Kumas was, it wasn't a nice thing. It's still, they used that for the Mizbeach. They used that for the Tzipo of the Mizbeach, I think it was. So how could it be? It's like a prosta thing. So they say, I think the Ramban says, because they melted down the gold, and now you use it, you fashion the gold to make something else out of it. But it's a new thing, it's not the same thing anymore. So you say the same thing over here. It's not those 12 stones anymore, it's a new stone. This rock is sort of as if it was like you melted down the 12 rocks, and you made a new rock, and now you're using that new rock as a mitzvah. Now, what did you want to answer?
I just thought that, I mean, the halacha doesn't apply here. Hashem made a nace with these 12 stones. He made a nace and made it to one stone. Almost as if he wanted this rack is holy, it's always holy, and it should be used for a holy use. A metzeva is a holy use.
Okay, maybe you're saying somewhere.
He made it a sign. Yaakov didn't know what happened. Pitom, Yaakov saw Hashem did a huge nace.
You're saying something similar to the next terz, Rav Chaim Kanievsky in Derech Sicha.
Once you use that for Seva, for something, you can't touch that anymore. Stafka.
Rav Chaim Kanievsky in Derech Sicha, in on page Kuf Mem Vav 146. So they asked Rav Chaim Kiyevsky this question, and he said that even though normally it would be asur in these circumstances, but over here it's mutter because it was before Matan Torah, and before Matan Torah you could make cheshbonos of mitzvahs, like we spoke from the Nefesh HaChaim and Perek Tazayin. We spoke about this, that the Nefesh HaChaim says, how could Yaakovinu marry two wives? Said Yaakovinu figured out a piece later, or whatever. This is mutter for him, or this is what he's supposed to do. It's similar to what you're saying, like Hashem told him to do. Hashem sort of telling him to do it. But you only find that really, like, if Hashem tells you to do it. You're saying like Harua Shah, which is like a slightly different heter. He's saying before Matan Torah. You're saying like Harua. I think you're saying Harua Shah, right? Okay, but we don't find that Hashem told him Dafka to do it. Okay, either way. Okay, fine. So what are Yaakov going to do? V'yorad lo shemen min ha-shamayim v'yotak olav. And oil came down from the heavens, and Yaakov Avinu took that oil and he poured it over the mizbeach, over the matzeva, shenema v'yitlek shemen al reisha. Yaakov Avinu poured oil on the head of that matzeva. The reason why the man over here is saying that the oil came from Shemayim is because the pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu poured oil on the matzeva, and the question is, where did Yaakov Avinu have oil from? We know that we said that Yaakov Avinu was robbed; he didn't come with anything. Right? So where's the oil coming from? So that's, I would have said that we said before that he had food with him, right? So maybe the oil is from the food. That's what I would have said. Here the Medrash is saying, you know, he got oil from Shemayim. There's another mahalach in the Rishonim, the Balei Tesis on Chumash, I don't remember which one, Meshav Zakenim, Tas Zakenim, Hardor Zakenim, one of these forms, they say that Yaakov says, Kiva Makli of Arti Yasei Yardin, with my stick I passed over the Yardin. It means only with my stick and with nothing else, right? So the Balei Tesis say that Yaakovina's stick that he had was actually hollow. And inside the stick, he would keep oil. Why would Yaakov Avinu need oil? Because if he wanted to learn in the middle of the night, so he needed something to burn, to keep a fire. Right? So he had extra oil with him inside his stick. And that's the oil that he used over here by the Matzeva. He poured from that oil. Me'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what did Hashem do? Nota, this is an interesting manager. Nota, regal yaminoi, Hashem took his right leg, kibiyachol, because we know Hashem doesn't actually have a right leg. V'tava ha'evin ad imke sohaimais, and Hashem like sort of pushed in the stone until the depths of the deepnesses. Hashem like stepped it down. V'asa yisa snif la'aretz, and Hashem made that stone as like a part of the land. Adam sh'asa snif la'kippah, like a man who makes a sniff for a kippah, to make, I'm not sure exactly what this is talking about, but it means like you're strengthening some sort of dome. So just like you're strengthening some sort of dome, so Hashem is using this stone to strengthen the world. L'fikach nikras evin ha-shasiyah. Therefore, that stone is called the rock of the shasiyah, of the, how would you translate it? Providing, the stone that provides. Shemisham hu tabur ha'aretz, because that place is the tabur ha'aretz, the navel of the land, the belly button of the world, meaning it's like in the middle, the main part of the world. Misham nimtacha or niftacha kol ha'aretz, and from there all of the world developed, or all of the world spread about. Ve'achal Hashem oimid, and upon that place the sanctuary of Hashem stands. Shenemar, it says in the pasuk, Ve'evan aziz asher samti matzevo, and that stone which I made into a matzevo, yihiyah beis elokim, it will be the house of Hashem. So that's a reference to the fact that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built in the future on that place. V'nofel Yaakov al ponov artzal lefnei evan ha-shasiyah, and Yaakov Avinu fell on his face on the ground in front of the evan ha-shasiyah. V'ayah mispalel lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'omar, and he prayed in front of Ed Ribbon Kol Olamim, Master of the Universes, im tishiveni l'mokem hazeh b'sholoim, if you return me to this place in peace. Right, he's on his way to Haran. So he says to Hashem, Hashem, if you return me to this place in peace, whether that means to Eretz Yisrael, or it means to the place of his forefather, to the house of Yitzchak, or it means to Tafka, to the Mesa Mikdash, the Radal discusses this, as Bechol Afanecha, I will slaughter for you Zivchei Soideis V'Oileis, slaughterings of Korban Teidas and Korban Oileis. Shneamar, it says the Vazar V'Yidr Yaakov Neder Lemar. Yaakov made promise, they promised saying. So Yaakov made a promise that if Hashem, you make everything work out, I'm going to bring korbanos to this place. V'sham hiniyaches ha-be'er, and Yaakov left the be'er over there, the well over there. I don't know what that means. Why we're saying that? U'misham nasa raglav, and there Yaakov Avinu lifted his feet. And like the blink of an eye, he reached Haran. Shnemar says the pasuk Vayisa Yaakov Raglov. Yaakov lifted his feet. But Omer, and elsewhere the pasuk says Vayitza Yaakov Beersheva Yala Haran. He left Beersheva and right away he went to Haran. So you see that Yaakov even got to Haran right away. There was a Kfitzas Sederach, right? Our Medrash is saying that the Kfitzas Sederach was from the Haran Meiria to Haran. The Gemara that I mentioned before says that the Kfitzas Sederach was from Haran. He went to Haran, and then he remembered that he passed the Beis Hamikdash and didn't pray to Hashem, so he wanted to go back. So then he had Kfitzas Sederach from Haran to Haran Meiria. We're saying he had from Haran Meiria to Haran. Okay, a slightly different chat. V'hakel HaKadosh Nikdash Bitztoko. Right, the pasuk in Yeshaya that we say in Shemoneh Esrei during Yom Neroim, Hakel HaKadosh, the Holy God, Nikdash B'Tzdaka, is sanctified through Tzdaka. And all the heavenly beings answered and they said, blessed is Hashem, the Holy God, Hakel HaKadosh. And the Marzu says that we were saying, the Kavan over here is we're saying that Yaakov Avinu, the third bracha of Shemoneh Esrei is connected Yaakov Avinu. We said before, Mogein Avraham is connected Avraham Avinu, Mechaye Mason is connected Yitzhak Avinu, who died by Akedah Yitzhak and came back to life. And now we're saying Akel HaKadosh is connected Yaakov Avinu, because it said that Akel HaKadosh Hashem is Nikdash Mitzvah, Hashem is sanctified through Tztaka. So what's the Tztaka over here? Where do we see Tztaka? So the Marzu says, I think it's a difficult pshat, but the Marzu says that the tztaka is that nether that Yaakov Avinu made a promise that if he's successful, he's going to bring karbanos, and when he comes back, there is his role. So that's called tztaka. I don't know why that's called tztaka, because tztaka is when you give like money to a poor person, you're helping some poor person. Making a karban is a nether, it's in the double. Why is it called tztaka? I'm not sure why the Marzu says this pshat. But the Radal says that the pshat is the tztaka that Hashem did for Yaakov Avinu. Hashem is sanctified through the tztaka that he does himself. That Yaakov Avinu was poor and he didn't have anything with him, and when he crossed the Yarden, and Hashem gave him a bracha. We didn't speak about this in the Medrash, but the psukim say that Hashem gave him a bracha in the dream and by Beis El, that he said that you're going to have a lot of children and you're going to get this land, etc. So that's the tztaka that Hashem is giving to Yaakov Avinu, that is sanctifying Hashem. The fact that Hashem gives to other people, that makes Hashem holy, and that's why he's saying Baruch Atah Hashem Akel HaKadosh. So we finished the story of Yaakov Avinu in Haran Meiria, and Be'ezer Hashem next week we'll speak about Yaakov Avinu getting to Haran. Okay.